The Power of Curse. A cool breeze swirled over the azure expanse of the seaside. The sun was slowly descending toward the horizon, and seagulls bathed in the pink mist above the water. Today's session took place in an unusual atmosphere. In the semi-darkness of a cave, carved in the cliffs above the sea, hundreds of candles were arranged, exuding a wonderful aroma. The Keeper of Knowledge, dressed in traditional black attire, awaited the students here. A mysterious smile played on his lips, and his eyes radiated warmth, love, and inner power. In an orderly line, the students entered the cave. The session promised to be very interesting. Before the students could settle, the first hand went up. The teacher nodded approvingly, allowing the students to express themselves.
"Great and wise one,"
began a beautiful girl dressed in a tender pink sari with golden patterns.
"I would like to talk about curses. In all Vedic legends, people always take curses very seriously, even though sometimes they scatter them literally to everyone and everywhere. Can you please tell us how curses really work? Is it true that there's no way to escape from them?"
"Radha, for a curse to be effective, a person must possess immense energy. This energy needs to be accumulated first, perhaps through ascetic practices. When a person indiscriminately curses everyone, all that remains in them is negativity, and no energy is accumulated. Such a curse won't work."
Replied the sage.
"My mother loves to curse everyone indiscriminately,"
said one of the students sadly, looking at the Keeper of Knowledge with eyes full of sorrow.
"Once, after a small argument, she showered me with curses, wishing that I would never succeed in life. It was said very emotionally, and at first I was scared. But later, after spiritual practice, I realized that her curse wasn't coming true, and I calmed down."
"Yes, Lena. If a person thoughtlessly curses everyone around, they're only nurturing negativity within themselves. Such a person has no energy for curses or anything else. They just emit anger. To resist such a person, one should simply ignore their rudeness and treat them with kindness and love."
"Teacher, may I give an example?"
asked a red-haired youth with bright blue eyes, turning to the Keeper of Knowledge. The sage nodded amiably.
"Once, a friend and I were riding our ATVs through a beautiful forest, and we came across a woman who was drowning in negative emotions. She started screaming at us, showering us with insults, and even hitting the ground with a stick. We simply smiled in response to all the negativity. She was so astonished by our reaction that she froze in place."
The students laughed, and the Keeper of Knowledge added with a smile,
"That's a very appropriate response to negativity, Carl. People like that woman can only be pitied. Instead of enjoying nature and tranquility in the forest, she tormented herself, drowning in her negative emotions and poisoning her own life."
"Beloved teacher, tell me, is it possible to enchant oneself in such a way that the curse of such a negative person starts coming true?"
asked the plump young woman with flowing golden hair, addressing the Keeper of Knowledge.
"Mira, if a person is suggestible, anything can happen,"
the sage said sternly.
"You can tell a person that they're under a curse and they'll immediately believe it, start feeling unwell, and believe even more in the curse that doesn't actually exist. Sometimes a person's psychological structure is weak, and in such cases, someone with stronger energy can indeed curse them, causing the negative energy to enter them and start undermining them from within. That's a genuine curse, and a weak person can't defend against it. So they start feeling unwell until the curse somehow disappears."
"Great teacher, what about people who aren't on a spiritual path? Their energy is lower than that of spiritual individuals. So does that mean they're in danger? Could a strong person accidentally cast a curse on them?"
Lena exclaimed.
"Yes,"
replied the Keeper of Knowledge.
"If a strong person has accumulated energy through ascetic practices, for example, their negative emotions can become a curse and inadvertently affect others. To avoid falling under someone else's wave of negativity, one must always keep a strong and active energy state. In that case, the curse won't work. The weaker a person's state is, the more easily they can be influenced by the dark powers.
Teacher, I've heard that there are even cases where a person, in a weakened state, auto-suggests themselves so much that they start seeing all sorts of demons, and they're so afraid that they might even end up in a psychiatric hospital.
Mira said, lowering her voice.
Yes, such cases do occur. That's why it's essential to always keep a strong, energetic state, so that no suggestions or curses can affect us.
The sage finished speaking, and the next question could already be heard within the cave.
Keeper of knowledge.
A man in a white cotton shirt with delicate Indian patterns addressed him.
In beliefs and legends, it is said that when Shiva and Shakti incarnate on Earth, they separate and then reunite. Is this also a kind of curse? Why is everything arranged this way?
Yes, George, you're correct. They were cursed to never be together. But if there were no such curses, they would live happily even in the heavens. Curses are necessary for development, for overcoming challenges, and for moving forward. Otherwise, if everything were perfect for everyone, people would become complacent and start to degenerate. Shiva and Shakti serve as good examples to humans of how to overcome curses and live happily.
Teacher, so this is an allegory. The separation of Shiva and Shakti is an inner division that is necessary for a person and their inner world. So, when you search for your other half or your onome, and when you find them, you attain happiness. Have I understood correctly?
Inquired a blue-eyed girl with numerous thin braids on her head.
Yes, Angelina.
The Keeper of Knowledge responded.
This is a division of soul and spirit, but they don't always come together. Sita, for example, went underground, while Rama remained. Such allegory exists in every fairy tale. When a prince searches for a princess, he undergoes trials, overcomes difficulties, defeats a dragon, and reunites with his beloved. In fairy tales, this represents onome, the union of soul and spirit.
Great Keeper, is it true that there is a holy asceticism and a black asceticism that gives birth to curses?
A short man with short gray hair turned to the sage. Genuine curiosity shone in his eyes.
Here, people's sick imaginations play a more significant role.
The teacher said, frowning.
Asceticism is a very significant and challenging task, and not everyone can accomplish it. To maintain asceticism, one must not only fast for 40 days or pour cold water on themselves, but also abstain from all thoughts and desires to preserve energy. If a person is constantly cursing everyone, they won't accumulate any inner strength. They will only make things worse for themselves. To build up energy, one must have a lofty goal. For example, to become an angel. And when this goal is achieved, the necessary amount of elevated energy will accumulate. Then the person will be happy and spiritually developed. All their wishes will come true. But if the goal is low, like a curse, then the energy will not stay with the person.
The Keeper of Knowledge concluded.
Teacher, but how can we have no thoughts and desires? Do we need to be in a constant state of mindfulness or focus on a high goal during spiritual practices?
A student asked the sage.
Yes, John. You are right.
The teacher responded with a smile.
You need to align yourself with a higher desire and try to cut off anything low. It is also crucial to always control your thoughts during spiritual practices. This is a standard monastic practice. Monks always monitor their thoughts, where they lead, and why certain desires arise.
Beloved teacher, how can we determine which thought during prayer is correct and which is not?
Mira asked, raising her bright blue eyes to the Keeper of Knowledge.
During prayer, there should be only one desire, to merge with God.
The sage replied with a warm smile.
When you have such an intention, all other desires naturally fall away. Only the most crucial, true, and correct ones remain. But if, on the contrary, there is no high desire, then various thoughts start creeping into the mind. Energy is spent on these thoughts, and the person plunges into an empty, senseless state.
Great teacher, to be honest, I'm completely confused.
A tall, slender girl in a spacious blue garment stepped forward.
There is desire, and there is intention. What's the difference between these concepts? Help me understand how it all works?
She looked at the sage with hopeful eyes, eager to learn the truth. The keeper of knowledge paused briefly, sending rays of warmth, acceptance, and unconditional love to the disciples. Everyone in the cave felt it. It seemed that the light now emanated not from the candles, but from the teacher himself.
Julia, that's a very good question,
the sage said thoughtfully.
Let's think about what desire is.
Let's say searching for a partner or sustenance?
George hesitantly said, looking at the teacher with interest.
Correct.
The keeper of knowledge replied.
These are embedded desires. There are others that are imposed on us through television screens, teachers, and the media.
For example, that one needs to work in a factory, fight for the homeland, take out loans, and get mortgages.
Lena said.
Exactly.
The teacher replied and continued.
Intentions are something else. They are conscious desires. They arise when a person understands. All this propaganda is making me a slave. I want to strive for God and spiritual development. This is my true desire. Such a conscious desire arises from a deep understanding, and then the person deliberately cultivates it through spiritual practices, and it turns into an intention. Only in this way can a person resist unconscious desires that sick society makes us slaves to.
As the keeper of knowledge finished his sentence, a new hand immediately went up.
Teacher, can you create a formula so that both intention and desire and willpower are together?
Radha asked, adjusting the gold patterns on her sari.
Intention is inconceivable without willpower,
the keeper of knowledge said, closing his eyes.
If there is no willpower, then a person simply cannot realize their conscious desire. Embedded desires are part of us. They act against our will, as something that has been imposed on us. However, when a person does something out of their understanding, willpower is indispensable. After all, we must make a special effort to realize our intentions. Willpower is essential here.
Great teacher, sometimes I have spontaneous and very strong desires. It's as if some telepathic power is leading me somewhere.
Lena confessed.
Once, around midnight, I went for a walk in the dark. At that moment, I clearly realized that strong will was needed to fulfill my intention. Can you explain how this works? Why do such spontaneous desires arise?
Lena, if a strong desire arises in the emotional center, it can lead a person. This is how telepathic abilities manifest themselves. A person can feel that they urgently need to go somewhere or do something. The key is not to let the mind interfere. Otherwise, the person may think, "Look, it's dark there, you're seeing things. Why are you going into the woods?" The mind can oppose feelings, impose patterned thoughts, and interfere with following intuition and premonitions.
Keeper, is it true that this trait is very important in business?
Carl asked the sage.
Yes,
the teacher affirmed.
If a person doesn't listen to their intuition, doesn't trust their emotional center, their business will soon fall apart. You cannot think solely based on someone else's template. It can lead to adverse consequences.
Today's conversation had been highly productive. The students gazed at the Keeper of Knowledge with love and gratitude, and his face appeared even more welcoming in the fading sunlight and the flickering candlelight. The students left the cave inspired and happy. The words of the sage had left an indelible truth in their hearts, a truth they would carry with them throughout their lives.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.